Heavenly Father, speak to us now, then we pray in Jesus' wonderful name, that, Lord, your will be done, and that you'll speak through your word to us with power and revelation, that everyone here this evening will leave knowing that, yes, they've heard from the Holy Spirit moving in their thinking and their hearts, that, Father, Lord, we would be all that you've called us to be through Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So then, let's turn in the scriptures with me. Let's go first of all then to 2 Corinthians 5, 18-19. I'm going to be brief this evening. We'll go to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 19. You know, this is a key scripture. It talks about reconciliation. I've met people who've, when I've spoken to them about reconciliation and the vital aspect of reconciliation, they've not really understood it. They've questioned it. The truth is, reconciliation is a key feature. And verse 18 reads like this, of 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry. He's given us. Notice the us. It's the church. It's the church. Okay, this is to the Corinthians, but this is to us. A ministry of reconciliation. He goes on in verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So when we speak to Christians and we say reconciliation is a good thing, really the response has to be affirmative from a Christian. They have, if it's not, then there are serious issues with that person's thinking. Major issues with them. There has to be an affirmative. It's a ministry of reconciliation. The very gospel, it says, is Jesus reconciling us to the Father. God, through Christ, was reconciling us to himself. This is what the scriptures teach. And so this ministry of reconciliation is a vital ministry. So often I've found in the church, if anything, people have become very hard. I'll show you why. What happens in the church, you see a Christian, and now, you know, you've been, let's say, born again. You lived one way for part of your life, and now you're born again, and now you come into the church, or your expectations of people within the church are very high. Very high expectations of everyone in the church. We demand of everyone in the church very highly, generally. And when we go out into society, we don't demand so much. And this is why some people say, well, I never have problems out in the world. Well, it's because your expectations are very low in the world. But you come into the church, expectations are very high. And it's those high expectations which then aren't met, which cause the problems. And people are disappointed with one another. There's arguments, there's contentions. All sorts of, all manner of things have taken place in the church. And it's because people haven't taken on board a ministry of reconciliation. If they took it on board, the word reconciliation, and to be reconciled to one another, to let it go, be offended. Better to be offended and let it go than to be someone who's just, you know, how dare they talk to me like that? Who do they think they're? You know, and having all that sort of angst just causes us problems. And it's an unrealistic expectation. But if we have a realistic expectation, we can easily then attain reconciliation. And just know, listen, if that person's done wrong, well, hey, I've done wrong as well. Walk circumspectly. Know that, you know, maybe you're not all that you like to think that you are. I know I'm not all I like to think I am. And, you know, and we have to walk humbly before the Lord and humbly before one another. And if we walk humbly like that, you know, we get along with one another much easier to get along with people when they're thinking along those lines. Amen? Now watch this. Let's go now to the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32, it says this. And this is really the heart of our communication, really. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And watch this, even as God in Christ forgave you." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that simple and straightforward? See, that's the sort of scripture that causes us then to say, I'm going to pick up the phone and phone them up. And just say, you know, I'm sorry. If I've done anything, I'm sorry. I messed up, I'm sorry. It's humble. But you know, what happens is, and I've seen it, you see it so often, you know, people, they build themselves up. And they get puffed up with their pride and you know, their sense of value in themselves and who they are, and they're so, you know, important. And you now, you know, and how dare anyone? And it's so ugly, and it's so anti-Jesus. It's so the very antithesis of what the gospel of Christ is about, which is being tender-hearted, being kind, being loving. And, you know, treating one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? Amen? That's the way we ought to be, gentle to one another. And, you know, if someone's offended you, well, go and tell them. And go and tell them, not with a high expectation for them to grovel to you, but just so you get it out in the open and then you can work it out. You may find that when you talk to them, actually, you're the one in the wrong. It was a misunderstanding. How many times has that happened? But you see, the enemy wants to come in and rob us of our good, peaceful, loving communication one with another. And so it's vital that we take these things on board. These are very important things to take on board. You know, they're not preached on a huge amount because, you know, people say, yeah, well, yeah, we know that, but yeah, give us something, you know. No. You say you know that bit. Knowing this bit means that we live this bit. And living this bit means that we have a great impact in our lives. Because we make the phone call. We're tender to people. We're generous. We're giving. We're, you know, it's that softness of heart. People, you know, they like to say, now watch this one, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. You've heard people say that. But you know, the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does God tell us to forgive and then forget. Doesn't say that to us. It's a characteristic of God, and people presume, therefore, that it must mean that it's a characteristic of us. It's not. Surprise, surprise, you're not God. I've been in some church meetings where people have talked about certain things that have happened in church and sensitive matters, and they say, well, you know, we've got to forgive and forget. No, God can forgive and forget. We are charged with responsibility to forgive, yes, but sometimes very definitely never to forget. Never to forget. And that's not taught very much in the church. So forgiveness, you see, what's happened is the enemy comes in with false teaching, gives us something that we can never achieve. Only God can forgive and forget. So because only God can forgive and forget, and we know that we never forget, what happens is we then can feel permanently defeated in that area, because we've never met the mandate to forget. Well, we're never going to meet the mandate to forget. We can't. But people have had that put on them, and then they felt that they failed because they haven't forgotten. Well, we're not meant to forget. Amen? Because we live in a funny world with some very funny individuals in it. No, we're not meant to forget. We can forgive. We're not meant to forget. Now that sets people free. You see, the devil is adding something to make the whole thing burdensome to us. The devil added that charge to make it a burden to us. And that's very popular in the church. You listen to Christians, they always say that. Forgive and forget, you know. No, we're not God. And we've been called to be responsible. God tells us to forgive because God in Christ has forgiven us a debt that we cannot pay. We can't pay that debt. So when we do this, we do ourselves a favor, because harboring bitterness and unforgiveness, as we've said, can damage our health. It's bad for our health. Many times I've led people in a prayer of forgiveness, and then the healing has come. Many times that's the first thing that I go to when someone comes forward for prayer, for healing, ministry for healing. I check and we go through a prayer for forgiveness. And usually that's the issue, a lack of forgiveness. So just forgive and then let God take care of the rest. And when we really forgive, sometimes he does make us forget. Interestingly, sometimes you just can't remember, because it's not important. Someone does you harm, there's an injury, you feel tremendously, you know, angry or whatever it might be, and then you just pray for their blessing, and you pray for their blessing, you pray for their blessing, you pray for their blessing. In the end, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, 2, 3, 4 months maybe, 2, 3, 4 days, depending on what the circumstances are and the events are, you can forget about it. It's gone. Not important. Sometimes you remember the incident because it was a major thing in your life, yet when you look back at it, the pain is gone. The sting just isn't there anymore, and neither is your bitterness. And it's a beautiful thing to walk in that forgiveness. You know, Joseph had forgiven his brothers before they came and bowed before him, but he remembered what they did to him. He didn't forget what they did, but he'd forgiven them. Genesis 50. So you may remember the incident, but the bitterness is gone because you've put the cross in the picture. God in Christ forgave me. God in Christ forgave me. So I forgive that person. I'm going to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice that we make, a quality decision. And when we forgive by faith, not by our feelings. We walk by faith, not our feelings. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Some people are waiting for their feelings. You know, they're waiting for the feelings to come, and when they feel like it, maybe then they'll forgive. But no, forgiveness is by faith. We do it once and for all. We spend time in prayer. We can, you know, make a decision that I'm going to forgive by faith because Jesus teaches me in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. That's clear Christian teaching. It's right there throughout the Scripture. Because of that, I will follow that, not because my feelings lead me to do it, but because faith tells me I must live by the Word of God for me to operate and function in the blessing of the Word of God. And so I must yield my life to the Word despite and regardless to my feelings. Feelings will come and go. Feelings change. They go up and down. They can be for you. They can be, you know, against you doing something. But the Word of God, when the Word of God is our mandate, then we will forgive by faith. There was a man who had given a building situation. Micah and I had lost a lot of money. And I won't go into the details, I don't need to, but what happened, there was a lot of money that we lost, and I was enraged. And for the first couple of days, my mind was going places that I didn't want my mind to be going. But I felt it was an attack on me and a very wicked thing. Now, our imagination must be employed for kingdom purposes. If we allow imaginations to be employed for other purposes, the enemy has a field day, and he'll take us to some places that we just really would never have thought we could even go to. So it's very important to be disciplined in our thinking. And we must say, listen, I'm not going there. My thinking is not going there. My thinking will be trained as a disciple, a disciplined person, a follower of Jesus, to forgive. As soon as it happens, I am going to forgive. Feelings, I'm cutting my feelings off this thing. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to walk in that forgiveness. So after a couple of days, I made that choice, and I would daily see connections with that particular person as I drove around. And at first, my stomach would turn. You know that feeling? It just turns your stomach. You just think, oh. And the anger starts coming up, and you just, oh. You know, rage starts building up. Maybe, you know, it's just a horrible thing. And I said, right, I am not going to allow the enemy to steer me like this. What I'm going to do is, whenever that happens, I'm going to use that as a trigger for me to pray forgiveness prayers and blessing prayers on that person. So whenever that started to raise up, I said, right, that's the trigger. Now see, this is a quality decision. This is a decision now to go against the feelings and walk by faith. And so that feeling rises up. I say, Heavenly Father, bless them, Lord. Lord, I ask that you bless them. Bless that man, bless the company, bless all the family, help them, and go into a nice, long, lavish prayer to bless them. At first, was I really feeling the prayer? No. It was a prayer of faith. I was praying it in faith, not because of my feelings, but I was praying it despite my feelings. But you know, a funny thing happens. after you pray a prayer like that a few times, your feelings start to catch up. And now your imagination is going in a really strange place, and it's a really lovely place, because now you're imagining things like that person coming to know the Lord, that person being saved, the family being saved, them realizing the error of their ways, saving lots of other people from injury in the future, all sorts of things. And then you start to have a tenderness for them. This is the richness of his grace, everyone. Seriously, we talk about richness. This is real richness. You think, a Rolls-Royce car, money in the bank isn't richness. That's not richness. It was just things to use. That's not richness. The riches of his grace is this sort of stuff. Now this is serious stuff. This is real richness. This is the richness of the gospel of Jesus. And this stuff, where you start to pray like this, and now you're wanting them to be saved. And now you have goodwill to them. You actually have genuine goodwill. What's happened is what started in faith now finds that feelings have followed. And feelings follow, and then it's a real genuine heartfelt love that you have. Is it any wonder that when you meet that person then, you can shake them by the hand? You've got no funny feelings at all. You just wish them all the very best in the world. Oh, that's a rich way to live. Seriously, please take it on board. This is life-changing. If we can take this on board, it changes everything. It's also security. This makes you buoyant. I view it like this. When we live like this, it's like having a shield of protection on us. You get pushed down. You know, do you remember the Weebles? Weebles wobble, but they won't fall down. And you remember those? Weebles wobble, but they won't fall down. Well, a Weeble was a children's toy. It was really big on the base and small on the top, and you pushed it and it would just come up. This is a way for us to be like that toy. We just keep coming up. You just keep coming up. You can't be pushed down when you live like this. See, this is rich living. This is the riches of his grace. You walk with forgiveness. And you see, what would happen is the enemy would set a trap for us in our own minds, and that trap would have us in bitterness. The enemy wants to get us bitter. The enemy wants to get us defeated, and he uses the subtle things like bitterness, anger, people feeling hard done by, all that sort of resentment, all those things come in, and then, the enemy's got us. We're knocked flat out. We're sprawled out on the floor with those things. But if we walk with this sort of attitude, forgiveness, the buoyancy of Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside of us, we just pop up and we're ready to go again. It's a beautiful way to live. So this is the riches of his grace. Wonderful Savior that we have. Forgive by faith and do it once and for all. Father, you could say, I bring this person before you. You know what he did to me. Father, as you forgive me through Jesus' cross, even though I did not deserve it, by faith I now forgive this person and I let my anger against them go. In Jesus' name, amen. A nice prayer like that. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's stand together, and I want us to do something as we close. I want us to think on someone who's hurt us, people who we're holding things against. People that have injured us, and we're going to close with a prayer along those lines that I've just said. So join me as we pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, everyone copy my words, in fact, just speak these words out. Heavenly Father, I bring those people before you now. You know what they did to me. Father, as you forgave me through Jesus' cross, even though I didn't deserve it, by faith, I now forgive those people, and I let my anger against them go. I ask that you bless them and prosper them and cause them to know Jesus as Lord and Savior if they don't yet. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we've prayed a prayer of faith there. And what'll happen is you'll see the sting of bitterness removed from your heart. The sting of the bitterness is removed from your heart. And you will experience peace and joy. God filling our minds. And a greater measure of His wholeness in our physical bodies. He's a wonderful Savior. And He loves you so very much. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Amen.